It is so important that we get together as women to women at a retreat like this to encourage each other, help each other, have lots of laughs, and it's okay to have some tears also. It's very important, as a matter of fact. We are all on a journey in life, and I want to encourage you on your journey by sharing a small part of mine. When I first began to think of what I would say today, I thought, oh, I just don't know what I could say to take up the time. And then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, oh, I could speak for a whole hour, but I won't. Thank you, Janet, for taking my fear so I can be able to share today. She told me she's going to take my fear. I have trouble being up here and not shaking and not being able to talk. So Janet's helping me out with that today. Thank you. Very often the Lord gives me a verse that is meaningful for a year or more. And I've had this verse for several years, and I first come upon it when Brenda made a tape for all of us here at Cherry Grove. And on that tape was this song, "He Who Began a Good Work in You Will Finish It and Bring It to Completion in the Day of the Lord." That stuck with me all these years, and it's something I think about all the time. I've lost my place. My verse that I'm going to share today is that verse from Philippians 1. I thank the Lord God every time I remember you in all my prayers. For all of you, I always pray with joy because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, that's Paul talking. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I particularly like the phrase, he who began a good work in you, because Jesus sought us out. That's amazing, isn't it? For several years, when I was first a Christian, I didn't know the Bible at all, and I'll explain more later, for a long time. I was amazed that Jesus could find me in Camas, Washington, out in the country. Isn't that silly now? As I studied the Bible many years later, I discovered that God wants every person to come into his world, that comes into this world to have the opportunity to know him. He wants no one to be lost. The word tells us that. I did not know that at the time of God's great power and his great love for us. We all have a story. Each one of you has a story of your life, and it's special to hear some of your story. We share pieces of our story with one another. And this little piece of my story that I would like to share today, my story is quite different from yours because mine began a very long time ago. And most of you are younger. So that my story will not only be different from yours, but yours will be My story will be quite different from yours because mine began so very long ago, and most of you are younger. So not only will my story be quite different from yours, but the way things were done in my era when I was born will be different from when you were born. And we come from very diverse backgrounds and experiences. But this is the beauty of how God meets us where we are, loves us for who we are, and helps us to each of us individually. That's really something I always can't get my head around. I want to start my story with my birth in Silver Creek, Nebraska. We Nebraskans call it crick, not creek. It was March 1936. I joined four brothers and three sisters. While I was being born upstairs, the family was celebrating my brother Ken's birthday, sixth birthday, downstairs. When I had children and told them that Uncle Kenny and I had birthdays on the same day, they said, "Who's the oldest?" And it's very special to have a sibling, have a birthday with a sibling. And oh my, I miss him so much. He's been gone a few years now, but there's just a vacancy that can't be filled anymore. In September of that year, because of the depression had come and the banks had crashed, my parents lost all their savings to buy a farm. So the decision was made to come to Washington. So my parents packed up everything they had and traveled to Washington and settled in Camas. I'll put this up on the panel, and you can look at it later, but this is us packed up coming to Washington. We came with another family whose trailer looked just like ours. All our possessions was in this trailer. And because we came with another family who had just one son, some of the children rolled with them at times. I know nothing about how that happened or what happened on the way. However, my siblings told me that I had my sister Betty, who was 3 months older than me. I was in a basket in the front seat with Mom and Dad. She used to steal the bottle from me. She was 13 months old. I probably said 3 years old. But anyway, I don't think it done me any harm, do you? We're of German and Swiss descent. I got the German gene. My sister Betty, who was my sister at that time who was still in my bottle, got the Swiss gene. She's 4 inches shorter than I am now and very small boned, so she probably needed the bottle more than I did. Okay. In the following years, three more children joined our family. And 9 years later, we lost our mother. I did not realize at the time what a tremendous loss this was for all of us. That became evident more and more as I grew up. Thank you for some of you. You've heard some of this story. And you're going to hear some more that you've heard before, but there'll be some things added too. About a month before mother died, it was a very warm August day. I was with Mom in the house, and she was very uncomfortable from the heat. We seemed to be alone. Mom asked me if I would fill a pan of water so she could rest and cool her feet. I did not know that she was expecting a baby. The family did not talk about things of this nature, and being 9, I was quite unsuspecting of these matters. We had a private time together that was very precious. I do not remember what we talked about, but it was nice having mother to myself. When she cooled down and was more comfortable, I dried off her feet and put on her shoes and socks, and she told me that I would probably make a good nurse someday. This did not happen, but it was nice that she said so. And we lost Mom just a short time after this. What I remember about our mother most was that she worked so very hard, but nothing made her more happier than being able to provide for her family. This was very meaningful to me when I became a mother, and it helped me to be thankful what I thought was most important. When I became a young mother, the women's lib was very much before us in the media. And women were needing to find themselves outside the house, the home. Being a housewife and mother was not looked on in the light that I thought it should be. Should be as the most important place in society. At least that's what I, how I understood it at that time in my life. Not putting down mothers working outside the home. That's not my intention here. I was thankful for what my mother had installed in me, for that being a wife and a mother was a very important indeed. I did pray when our children was born that God would let me live to raise them. And when each one reached the age of 9, the age I lost my mother, I looked at them so much and realized how very young they were. I believe the Lord, however, was looking out for us. When we lost Mom, I'm not remembering exact times here, months or years, a lady came to our home and asked our father if she could come by and take us children to Sunday school. I do not remember her name or what she looked like, but I am looking forward to seeing her in heaven to thank her, and that's going to be a great celebration. I know I will recognize her in heaven. I got ready each Sunday, and so did some of my siblings, and we went to Sunday school with this nice lady. And then, though I don't remember anything about this lesson that she taught us, I remember how loving she was. And she was my Sunday school teacher. I don't know about the other kids. I should ask them. She took us to a church in Camas, out in Oak Park is where the Friends Church was at that time. It's in Camas now. So I went many times. I'd get ready, and when she'd come by, I'd go. And I went for, I don't remember how long, but went for so long that the church gave me a King James leather, black leather Bible with my name engraved in the corner of it, of the cover. I put it in my dresser drawer and never read it. And after some time, my siblings had already stopped going to Sunday school with this lady. And sometime later, I stopped going too. Not knowing at that time, I had severed myself from the best way to grow in Christ. As everyone does, I continued to grow up, graduated from high school, and being not able to go to college because of finances that I could see at that time, I got a job at Campus Corner. Who remembers Campus Corner? The restaurant in Battleground. It was, as a waitress, it was a high school hangout and a businessman lunch place, and they also served dinners. Even though I had many good Christian friends in high school, I did not go to church or read my Bible. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. And during these years, I made some bad choices. And I knew they were bad choices because the Holy Spirit was telling me they were bad choices. I come to that conclusion later. I could hear something telling me these were bad choices, but I'd done them anyway. While working at the restaurant, I met this great guy named Jim. Jim was just home from the war. He had just been discharged from the Korean War, and he was looking for work. And he got hired as a guard at the Battleground Fair, County Fair. Did you know that the County Fair used to be held in Battleground over the tracks down south of Battleground? And he was a guard there. And he must have come in after he guarded all night, and because we had a kind of a whirlwind courtship and got married. You know, this isn't advice, girls. This is just how it happened in my life. You young girls. We had 4 children in 5 years, 1 son and 3 daughters. And yet, 8 years later, we had another daughter. And my coping skills were not very good. And before long, I was an emotional basket case. and my husband suggested that I go to church. We have this vessel here to show each one of us have things in our past that puts holes in our person, and we all cope with that. So I used to think of myself as a basket case, but now I think of myself as a cracked vessel in this time in my life. Well, still. The beautiful part of this is that Christ can not only heal our cracks, but he can shine through us while this is happening. So I was more of a cracked vessel than a basket case. About this time, and I'm convinced it was the Lord's timing. See, my husband had said probably if I could get better if I went to church. This is an oxymoron here. I've convinced this was the Lord's leading. A neighbor, Ruth Cross, some of you know Ruth Cross, came to our home to sign the children up for kindergarten school. And she invited us to come to Cherry Grove. And eventually we did. And we are accepted with such love. Cherry Grove was such a loving place, and the people were so caring. I carried my Bible with me, but was still not reading it. Then, being in an adult Sunday school class, I did get my Bible out to read it, but I had a very hard time finding the different books of the Bible because the Bible was not a bit familiar to me. Then I was asked to teach the 2 and 3-year-olds in Sunday school, and this was perfect because the children and I would be learning together, and literally we did. Doesn't God have a sense of humor and meets us right where we are and knows exactly what we want? This was a very good time for me, and eventually I attended more adult classes and learned more and more of the Bible. And that is why it's so important to me to this very day to study and to study with others. There is such a blessing that goes with studying others as you look through the Word together and you flesh it out together. It's just amazing. We can't exhaust learning of who God is and how he wants us to live. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I did not realize my responsibility was being in the family of God. Through Bible studies, this became clearer and clearer. And not only this, but how God had protected me through the years because I was his, and now, even though I wasn't acknowledging him, I could see his hand in my life all this time. We certainly have a patient and loving God. There were many challenges for Jim and I raising the children, and there is one I would like to share. When our son Dirk was 8 years old and in the first grade, he became very ill. He had a sore throat. And although he seemed to be getting better, he was gaining weight, and his urine, this throat was getting better, he was gaining weight, and his urine was very dark. After a visit to the doctor, he was hospitalized. Our doctor explained to us that Dirk had a bug. You professional people help me here. It was a staphylococci or staphylococcal or one of the staphylococcals that was going being flushed out of his body, and it was swelling his kidneys, and it could lead to shutting them down, and that he might have to go on dialysis. And in the 1960s, the dialysis lab, the only lab in the country, was in Seattle. Luckily, he didn't have to, but talking about how God comes alongside of you with your friends and family, we had a friend who had already arranged for an airplane to take us to Seattle, if need be. Dirk was in the hospital for 21 days. He not only had a general practitioner, but he had an internal specialist as well. The doctor called me every morning after he had seen Dirk to give us an update. I visited him every afternoon because Jim's mother, who lived just down the road here, offered to take care of Dirk's three sisters, and in the evening, Jim and I both went to the hospital. During this time, many friends and family called to see how Dirk was doing and praying for him. Some said they had never prayed before. I will add here, though Dirk was only 8 years old, he was a very good patient and showed a lot of patience being in bed 24/7. He was an active child. We live on a farm. He was, even at eight, was driving the tractor with his father. And so this was pretty remarkable that he, and this did not end when he came out of the hospital. He still had to be horizontal for quite some time, had to go back and have blood tests a lot. And this was really difficult with these three sisters around trying to play with him. It was hard keeping him horizontal. I have to admit that I did not have the concept of the severity of Dirk's condition until on the 10th day when the doctor called and said that Dirk had turned for the better and would be getting well. I did not realize that he had been in more danger than I had known. The very same day, later in the morning, the pastor at Cherry Grove came to our house and said that the people of Cherry Grove had prayed for Dirk the night before at the Wednesday night prayer meetings. They always had Wednesday night prayer meetings. And do I believe in miracles? Oh, yes, I do. And I'm thankful for the family of God for generously praying for our son. Dirk had a long recovery ahead of him, but it had started that day. Today, Dirk is healthy. He has two grown daughters. He is a grandfather of three and looking toward retirement in a few years. And I am so thankful how God has blessed us. And I'm thankful how he has molded me with my journey with him. He's helped me with my temper. He's helped me to see people as he would see them. I'm not as judgmental as used to be. I like to understand why a people is acting the way they're acting instead of judging them. That is all God, I want to tell you. I seriously believe God was watching over us all this time. He says in his word that he will never leave us or forsake us. Through all of this and many more events Jim and I have experienced raising the family, God has been molding me into the person he wants me to become. He's not done with me, and he's not done with me yet. It's a process. We have faced many more things since Dirk's illness, and I have been able to meet them with more calm and trust as never before, and he can do that for each one of us. Wherever we are and whatever we do in life, where the rubber meets the road, we can be confident that God is with us and is helping us as we stop and listen to him. God can take a cracked vessel, heal it, and use it to shine in the lives of others, to encourage them on their journey while living for him. We can be very confident of this, that he who began a good work in us can bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Thank you.